right, let's see how we can follow yesterday.
Galchenyuk's not going to be back there. We knew, you and I, go back, I wish Rod would not, no knock on Dave, by the way. Dave does a great job.
No knock on Dave. He's beaming right
no
now.
Knock, but he doesn't know
first
where
day
the tapes
in,
are.
He's already got taken
Dave
shots.
Dave doesn't know where the tapes are. Like, go.
Yes, he does.
When Beaulieu was a healthy scratch.
Yes.
In New York.
Yes.
What did we say?
He's done.
He's done. Done. So they, you know, healthy scratch Nathan. When you do that to a young player, it doesn't give a resounding shot of confidence to the player, and it probably says internally that the new sheriff in town's not buying in what the kid is doing, and he's probably going to be somewhere else.
How's that for Dave Trentadue, huh?
That's my man. He's stepping up. He's replacing an all-star with a virtuoso performance.
Yeah, that was impressive. Not quite this territory.
You've got this amazing ability. I'm going to start calling you Golden Ball.
Yeah, you got a ways to go before you're Golden Ball. Melnick in the afternoon, hour number three. Mitch Golden Ball Melnick, along with Mitch Gallo. Dave Trentadue is in for Rod Francis. We are going to Las Vegas.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwoods. Voted Cult Montreal's best sandwich in Montreal third year in a row. Thanks, Montreal. You gotta love a Dagwood sandwich.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm excellent, Mitch. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. What's the buzz? Where are you right now? Where are you talking to us from?
My hotel room.
Yeah? Okay.
I just got done in the gym and had a chance on the way in to visit with some hockey icons, and we'll go back down and meet with them as soon as I'm done with you.
All right. Anybody I know?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Yeah?
Yes.
So, Pierre, what's the buzz here? Let's go. Let's go. Come on.
Seriously, there wasn't a lot of buzz. I got here. I mean, I'm sure there is. But as soon as I got here, I walked through the lobby, went to my room, did a radio show, went downstairs to the gym, and then I came back here with you. I'm sure there's a lot more buzz. When I got here, it was a little bit early in the morning compared to most of the people. It was pretty quiet all over. I saw Renaud Lavoie. That was the first person I saw. And then I saw two or three very good former hockey players that were here. And, now I'm just going to go down and visit with them when I'm done with you.
I think it's going to be a pretty good team. We're happy that we've got a lot of defensemen. We've got really good goaltending. We've got a lot of centers, and we got scoring on the wing. Should have good speed. So it's going to be a good team.
Clearly knows who his team is, or he's fibbing a little. George McPhee earlier today.
He's not fibbing. He's not fibbing at all. I've been telling you this for a while. I think I was one of the few people that said, yeah, they're actually going to be very competitive. A lot of people said, oh, they're going to get nothing. It's going to be an awful team. I'm like, no, these expansion rules are very beneficial to them. Plus, they don't have to compete with another team. They're going to have a very competitive team. Goaltending, defense, and character matter. They're going to have a lot of that.
Can you tell us how many trades you have?
I don't know. I don't know that the answer to that question. We've done a lot of things.
Are you up to about a half a dozen or
transactions?
Yeah.
Certainly at least that.
Sounds a little tired, huh?
more than that. That's how George is. He plays possum. He's got more transactions than a half dozen.
Really?
I'll tell you that.
You think double figures?
Do you count draft picks and players? There's going to be a couple where teams will pay two and three components.
Right, now, that's important. He used the word transaction. Yeah.
Right, that's what I mean. So there could be components in a transaction that make it a multi-component transaction. That adds up, if you follow my trip.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you something, because Ray was on. He's he's almost done with us. He's got one more on Thursday. Ray Ferraro was part of the expansion Thrashers in 1999. And do you think that with Gerard Gallant as the coach and his ties to Montreal for a couple of years as an assistant makes any difference at all in terms of what George McPhee is going to do re the Canadiens?
Oh, yeah. You got to absolutely pick his brain. And knowing George, he will. George doesn't leave too many stones unturned. I remember once in particular coming back from Russia after a very long time over in Russia. The first call I got when I landed was from George, and he was checking up on some European players. So, no, he's pretty aggressive that way. So I would say that he would definitely rely. Now, Would he rely on him for the rest of the league? I would say not. Would he rely on him for the Florida Panthers? I'd say yes. With Montreal Canadiens, yes, and potentially Columbus. That's another spot
right.
that obviously Girard worked.
Yeah. And when it comes to a player like Plekanec, for example, is that?
Oh, I think he'd ask him about him. But knowing George, he would have seen him play a ton. Kelly McCrimmon would have seen him play a ton. Mike Foligno, who's part of their staff, would have seen him play a ton. So I don't think there are any secrets on Thomas.
But it's very difficult, obviously, with so many things going on that nobody is aware of except the people who are directly involved in it. I'm going to come back to it until we know for sure what the team looks like by tomorrow night, and that is, who would you pick?
Great question. Really good question. I would probably take Jacob Delarose.
That's an interesting one.
I probably would take Jacob Delarose. I did a bunch of mock drafts, and it kept coming up him. You heard George talk about centermen.
Yep.
I think he's very coachable, that player, and I think he's got hockey instincts that will allow him to play for a longer period of time. And I do believe him when he says they're centermen. I'll just use the Nashville situation is interesting because everybody is focused in on James Neal. But nobody has talked about Pontus Aberg, who's a tremendous talent and much younger than James Neal. And nobody's talked about Colton Sissons, who played as a number one center in the Stanley Cup Final. Both those players. Now, if Cali Yarncroke had not been protected, I guarantee you George would have taken Cali Yarncroke. But I think Nashville figured that out. So I look at, if you can get a service, let's just say, that they have, because these names are out there, they're unprotected. That's why I'm not afraid to use the names. Let's just say they had Marcus Kruger. Let's just say they had Colton Sissons. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, they took Brock Nelson, even though I think the Islanders have probably done a deal to protect him, even though he's exposed. Let's just say they took Jacob Delarose. You're smart enough down the middle with that group. You're intelligent enough just with that group alone to compete. What happens if they go for the wall and they say, okay, we're going for the home run, we're going to take Eric Staal? There's going to be enough center ice position play there where they're going to be able to survive. But I think if you're asking me about Montreal, I would take Jacob Delarose.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, he's too young to totally give up on. And, this lack of offense is certainly a factor, but people may have lost track or aren't aware. He finished very strongly, actually, in the American Hockey League last year in terms of putting the puck in the net.
Well, I wouldn't even be taking him for that reason, but I totally agree with you on that. As you study trends and players trending up or down, absolutely fair to say. My thing is his hockey sense. And I go back to when I worked for the late Bob Johnson. He used to tell me all the time, get me guys who are smart, get me guys that are coachable, and get me guys that can skate. And if you get me guys that have all three of those ingredients, I can make them better. So, and I've adhered to that. Because I saw it work. I saw it work twice. So I really believe in that way of approaching things.
Now, it was 14 goals for Delarose in 62 games last year. Obviously, way higher total than he's had in years past. Pierre, why Delarose and not Charles Hudon, who had a terrific year in the American Hockey League?
Charles is great. Charles did fantastic. I like complete players, totally, and I think Jacob's got a chance to be that. When I say complete, I don't mean offensively complete because Hudon is a much more gifted offensive player. But I just think there's a stability to Delarose's game at the NHL level that'll probably be more thorough. That's all. It's you could have gone either way. But I would not have Thomas Plekanec as one of my top guys in terms of picking him if I were Vegas.
As in the team Vegas, not the odds makers, with Pierre McGuire in Las Vegas on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Pierre LeBrun will join us after 6. Answers from Space with Bill Lee, somewhere in the province of Alberta. There seems to be this feeling, again, Mark Methot's name came up earlier in the show, that he may be on the move, if not taken as a pick by Vegas, but actually flipped. Do you see that?
I do. Now, here's something that's real inside, and maybe people will be bored with all the inside stuff. Mark Methot played for the London Knights and won a Memorial Cup there in 2005, and his coach was Dale Hunter.
And I can tell you, George McPhee spent a lot of time cultivating assets out of the London Knights program because of Dale Hunter's relationship with the Washington Capitals. And I'd be willing to bet that Mark Hunter, who actually George hired to coach the Washington Capitals as well,
right.
I'd be willing to bet that Mark Hunter would give an A++ report on Mark Methot in terms of character and playing ability. And so that would, if you're George McPhee, you say, I can take this player and keep him, or there's going to be a significant market value for him if I take him and flip him. So I would be shocked. I really would be if Vegas didn't take him. The only other player I could see from Ottawa's list that they'd be interested in would be Freddie Claesson, who had a fantastic playoff. Very, very good, and doesn't make nearly as much money.
And the two reports today were that the Golden Knights were not able to come to an agreement with Ottawa to not take Methot. And also, there was this deadline imposed by George McPhee. George McPhee was willing to talk to Lou Lamoriello today because of travel issues that Lamoriello was having yesterday. So
there were major travel issues in the New York-Boston corridor yesterday. I don't know if Lou was in Toronto or if he was in New York or Rhode Island. But I can tell you right now, today getting out of New York, a day after all the shenanigans because of weather, it was hellacious getting out of there this morning. It was really, really tough to get out of there.
There's also weather out west where you are. The flights are being delayed or canceled because of heat.
It's 116 degrees here right now, Fahrenheit.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but it's a dry heat.
You know what, though, Mitch? I'm not kidding. It is a dry heat.
It's 116 degrees. My goodness.
Florida or Tennessee, this is a dry heat compared to those places.
Somebody else we haven't asked you about yet because of so much going on with the Habs, which we'll get to in a second, was Jonathan Marchessault being available. What's your view on that? And how?
I was surprised he was available. They must be worried about his next contract, you know, in terms of what it would be worth. And I know that they've got a couple really good college players coming. One of them, Henrik Borgstrom from Denver, who's a tremendous player. I think he was a second-round pick of theirs a couple of years ago. So maybe they think that he's not going to turn pro this year, but he'll probably turn pro after this year. I think maybe they're looking at some of their prospects saying, we'll let Marchessault go only because we know his next contract's going to be relatively large. But I was surprised he was available. I'd be shocked if Vegas didn't take him. I'd be very surprised.
And Shane Doan was informed by Arizona yesterday, and he appeared on.
What do you think of that? The way it was done, I just.
Well, it was hard. I really, because it broke while we were on the air, so I really wasn't aware of how, in fact, it was done. Here's a little bit of Shane Doan, who was on TSN 1050 earlier today.
Yeah, you know, without a doubt, your first instinct is to respond that way. When I first got told that, I think your natural instinct is to respond that way. And I've tried to do my best to refrain from making any decisions in that moment because, as a player, one of my strengths is playing with kind of emotion and intensity, and that's good. But you can't rely on outside things to kind of keep that going, and you have to be able to generate that yourself. And I got to be able to make sure that if I make that decision, that it's because I know I can do it for a year and help somebody. And I also recognize that I'm 40 and I got 6 goals last year, so it's not exactly the best kind of repertoire to take up to another team.
That's just part of Shane Doan. He was asked if he was angry about how it went down. I was talking about this with Mitch Gallo early in the show, the general manager in Arizona. I mean, he's older than him. I think it's a different feeling if it's a hockey lifer, if it's a Dale Talon, as somebody like that, for Shane Doan to accept it, rather than someone who's, a year and a half into his job.
I just thought it was funny how it was handled. I think it required more than just a press release. You're talking about an iconic figure that spent his whole career with one team. I still think he's got a little bit left to help a team out. I really do. I wouldn't be focused in on the numbers with him. I'd be looking more at the veteran presence, the emotion that he would bring, and the competitive nature. You'd have to be an elite team that thinks they have a significant opportunity to win to bring him in for 1 year. And I think he can do it. I watched Matt Cullen the last 2 years.
Matt Cullen just finished his 19th season in the NHL, and he still got it going on. He can still play. He can still play because he's perfectly slotted. He's playing in the fourth hole as a centerman. He is killing penalties with the second unit, and if they need a little bit more offense late in the game, they move him up on the wing because he's so versatile. I think Shane Doan can do a lot of the same things. So if you're a team that thinks they're really good and has a chance to win, it would not. I would not be afraid to bring him on board.
I will never write off a 40-year-old player again after the Mark Recchi situation a few years ago when Pierre said Canadians should sign Mark Recchi, and I said he's 40, and he said he's still got his legs, and that's the most important thing. And we all know what Mark Recchi did. 3 years later, he won the Stanley Cup with Boston. So just because a guy hits a certain age, you know, there is this tendency all over sports to write him off, and especially that six goal sticks out like a sore thumb. But last season, he scored 28.
That's what I mean. I wouldn't. That team was terrible, and it's not a healthy situation there right now. It just isn't. Now maybe they're going to turn it around. I don't know. But look at their roster. If you're a fan of the NHL, look at their roster and tell me how they're going to turn it around. They just traded Mike Smith, and now they're losing Shane Doan. Look at their roster. Go look at it. They traded Martin Hansel. I mean, they're not getting better right now. They're not. So
even though it might have been done in an awkward manner, in a less than ideal manner, they're basically doing him a favor.
I would hope, but I really thought it could have been handled a little bit differently. The one thing that I really respect about Montreal now, under the Molson regime in particular, is how they deal with transactions. It's just superior. It's really well done. So I have a lot of respect for that. What was I thinking about Shane? The other thing is, you know, people in Quebec should be looking at that player saying his coming out party was at the Memorial Cup in Laval. He was with a Kamloops team with Jerome McGinley and Darcy Tucker. And, you know, the team was so darn good. And Doan was part of it.
And he's Carey Price's cousin. Good. That's what people are saying right now. He's Carey Price's cousin.
Oh, yeah, he's Carey's cousin. That's true, too.
Speaking of transactions.
I don't know if Montreal's in that category, if you follow me.
They're not an elite team.
I don't think they're ready to win the Cup, do you?
Would you trade Galchenyuk for Jonas Brodin?
I would.
You would? Okay, explain why you would.
Jonas Brodin is really good. He is not a physical player. He's a new-age defender that can defend very fast players. He would have no trouble defending against Connor McDavid and being able to turn and pivot and look after that enormous responsibility. I think he got swept under the rug a little bit in Minnesota. I watched him at the World Championships. I like the way he moved the puck.
Pierre, do you agree with Ray?
I'd need to get more if I was trading Galchenyuk for Jonas Brodin. And the McDavid thing, and this is not to be flip, but they only play Edmonton twice, so that doesn't really count to me unless they were playing in the Stanley Cup final, and that'd be hard to speculate on.
Right. I think he was just kind of referring to his skating ability.
Okay,
right?
Jonas is a very good player. Can play the right or the left side. For the longest time, he played on the right side as a left-hand shot with Ryan Suter. They moved him over to the left side. He's more than capable of being a great first passer. He's a tremendous player with Färjestad over in Sweden. He's really a tremendous teammate. But if I were Montreal, I'd need to get more than that.
Yeah, well, I think you could tell I was surprised in that one-for-one that Ray went there. And
yeah,
so,
I couldn't go one-for-one. I personally would not. That's just how I feel.
If you, you know, that might be why there's been no deal yet, because Darren Dreger reported yesterday, which he repeated on the morning show with Connor and the gang this morning, that apparently the Canadians are asking, any discussion around Galchenyuk, they are asking for, quote-unquote, multiple pieces.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm going to tell you right now, in terms of Minnesota, if you're going to go down that road, they've got some of the best young prospects at forward in the National Hockey League. Kaprizov is somebody that just was awesome at the World Junior. Luke Cunningham was a captain at Wisconsin, just turned pro, was tremendous for the Americans, winning a gold medal. Jordan Greenway out of Boston University, huge forward out of Canton, New York, just down the road where St. Lawrence is. He would be another one. They've got a plethora of young talent that I would, you know, I would want a piece of if I were trading Galchenyuk. I'd try to do maybe a larger deal, throw a pick in, and then Galchenyuk and get
one of those elite young forwards that they're talking about, then you could start talking business. Then you're ready to rock.
Right. Gallo? By the way, Mitch Gallo, Sean Campbell in Chicago for the draft. They leave on Thursday morning.
Yeah, I loved Greedway, by the way, at the World Junior Championship.
He's a power forward. He's everything Montreal doesn't. I mean, he's a gigantic human being. And he's rugged.
Remind me of Todd Bertuzzi when I was watching him.
There you go. That's a good comparison.
So and when go ahead, finish your thought.
Just sticking with Minnesota, Pierre, what about Scandella as a fit?
Oh, Marco's a fit anywhere. Marco's just a character person. Now I'm biased. I skated with him when I lived in Montreal in the summers and know him really well, and I think the world of him as a person, as a player. He's big. He's robust. He can move. There were a couple times this year where he scampered with the puck. I call him Scandella Scampers. You know, he just went up and down the ice with the puck. I was so impressed. Marco's a fit. He's a fit anywhere in the league.
He's just a solid, dependable defenseman, right?
He can play for any team in the league. You know, there are a lot of guys, if you were to trade them, sometimes they can't play for every team in the league. He could play on any team in the league.
And in terms of what Ray finished up there, and we were short on time when we were talking, is when he said he was kind of swept under the rug, what happened to him?
Well, like I said, he was playing in the first tandem with Ryan Suter, but Suter didn't like playing with a lefty on the right side. He wanted a righty on the right side. So that eventually got him flipped down, and part of the problem was he wasn't going to play ahead of Suter, and he wasn't going to play ahead of Scandella. So he's playing in the third pairing on the left side. So that kind of put him back. That's what he means by being buried. But he still played, and I can tell you last year he had a very, very solid year with Minnesota, very solid.
All right. So what is it, 230, kind of pushing 230 in Vegas, 116 outside? I'm going to take a guess that you'll be inside.
Inside. I've got to go to a function, believe it or not, for Adidas tonight here.
Right.
And then tomorrow morning, bright and early, I start radio at 4 o'clock in the morning, so it'll be a school night for me here tonight. And then rehearsals tomorrow morning. And then then the gauntlet starts at around, I don't know, 2 o'clock when I start with you. After I start with you tomorrow, it's just nonstop until probably around 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Then I got to come right back to bed because I leave at 4 in the morning to go to Chicago on Thursday.
All right. Well, it's the whirlwind has begun. What's that?
I'm behaving.
Yeah. Okay.
I am. I'm telling you.
I believe you, Pierre. I believe you.
No. Well, 5 years ago, you couldn't. I would have told you. I'm not going to behave. I'm behaving.
But I'm told you can have a really nice dinner almost anywhere in Vegas.
You can. That is absolutely true. And I will.
Incredible restaurant scene. Yeah.
Well, no, just I know it's 115 degrees. Pierre mentioned that, right? But it's always 77 in the casinos.
He's right about that.